Amen. Hey, once again, we are in our study, World Religions, Cults, and the Occult, in the section, that's right, Voodoo, Vampires, and the Rise of Demon Worship. And we've already seen so far in our study the existence of demons. Good thing it's all make-believe. It's all over the scripture. Hello. And their character is just as evil as Satan. Hello. And their tactics, God tells us exactly how they're going to come against you. Praise God for that. He doesn't leave us hanging high and dry. And we saw not only that, we saw the history of demon worship. And that was to answer the question, how in the world is actual people being duped, not just in the world, even the church, to seek interaction, so-called wisdom and advice and intermingling, commingling, and dare I say, as non-Christians, getting possessed by demons and thinking it's a good thing. How did that happen? Well, we dealt with that in the history section. And then we saw it begin to branch off, okay, into various aspects, further sucking people into demonic connection. And the first one we saw, of course, was voodoo. And then last time, we began the journey of this second one, and that was something called shamanism. Shamanism is basically what I call the indigenous version of voodoo and other occult practices, okay? It's just a repackaging. That's what Satan does. He takes the same old occult behavior, and he repackages it and trying to get as many people sucked into it as possible. And not just voodoo, but shamanism. Even here in the West, people are going along with it, hook, line, and sinker, and it's all about getting connected with a demon. Now, we start off then in our journey then to take a look at the definition of shamanism. What is a shaman? A shamanism is a, quote, occult method, and this is secular resources, an occult method, they even admit it, where an individual, i.e. a shaman, attempts to solve problems through manipulation and contact with the, quote, spirit world. And of course, you call it spirit world because you certainly don't want to tell people what it is. It's demons, right? And so again, just like voodoo, they rely on demonic intervention, demonic possession, demonic control, demonic input to get their, quote, job done. The word shaman means literally one who knows. And so the whole basis is if you want to know something, don't go to God. That's what you should do. Hello. Go to a shaman. Go to the occult. And that's why God has very strong words about that. Now, we also learned that a shaman goes by some different names, holy man, priest, or, listen, and this is going to be kind of the theme tonight, a medicine man, okay, or even a witch doctor, right? So what does that tell you? A big part of what they do is specifically, supposedly, for what? Healing people. So basically, what we're going to see is the occult version of healthcare. And they go, good thing nobody's doing that, bringing in the occult with healthcare. We're going to see that all tonight, unfortunately, okay? Shamanism believes, of course, just like voodoo animism, that everything's got a spirit. Rocks, trees, fleas, bees, you name it, all that stuff. And then you got to know all the special names and every different name, the great white buffalo and all, you know, all this stuff that you're supposed to connect with, and each one's going to give you power. It's just like voodoo, but it's kind of like a more indigenous version. Shamans use altered states of consciousness to contact these spirits, i.e. demons, to get the job done. And that led us to the practitioners, okay? And you're saying, well, how do they get into this altered state of consciousness in order to connect with these spirits, i.e. demons? Well, as we saw last week, guess what that guy's smoking? It ain't Marlboro. No, it's what? It's marijuana, okay? Marijuana, the whole study ended up being on that because that is one of the biggest drugs that shamans use, okay, to get into an altered state of consciousness on purpose, in their words, not mine, to connect with demons. Okay, and that, boy, are we being duped or what? That thing is being legalized all over the place, and you wonder what that's going to do. Okay, and we saw, again, it's the same thing. It is a form of witchcraft, sorcery, to connect with demons, and that's what's going on. And because it's being legalized, it's causing all kinds of demonic problems. As we saw last time, everywhere where marijuana is being legalized, even here in America, the crime rates have gone up, homelessness has gone up. It's causing more deaths because people are not safer drivers. They're dangerous drivers. And just dealing with the statistics, even Metro here in Vegas is gearing up for it's going to get worse. Okay, and it is getting worse. And then we saw they're making it so easy, you can get it in candy form. You don't even know if it's the real deal or not, or infused or what. They're doing it in vending machines, okay, and things of that nature. And then we saw, well, good thing the church ain't going along with it. We have Pat Robertson saying it's a good thing to legalize marijuana, if you can believe that. And then now we're having, quote, cannabis churches pop up, where the latest craze is what? Don't have a wedding, you need to have a weeding. Remember that? This is insane. The church should be at the rooftop shouting against this stuff. Okay, but the more it's getting legalized, the more what is it doing? This is the same thing that shamanism uses, okay, to get people connected with the demon. What do you think it's going to do? It's going to make things way worse, right? And that was the challenge, is basically every time that you go around here in Vegas where you're at and you smell pot, and you can't mistake that smell. It smells like a stinky, sweaty skunk, man, on with some bad, right? But there's no mistaking it, and there's no hiding it. People try to hide. No, we know exactly what you're doing. But it's everywhere. It's in hotels. It's in businesses. But every time you smell it, according to the occult, it's basically a person, whether they want to admit it or not, you're opening up spiritual doors you don't want to mess with, right? And things that, every time we see a billboard promoting this, our community and whatever community is doing this, whatever state's doing this, you're encouraging people to get an altered state of consciousness, connect with demons, and you wonder why. Oh, and by the way, we saw, it isn't just shamanism, right? Many different religions around the world specifically use, in their occult techniques, to get into an altered state of consciousness, they use marijuana to get the job done. They also use other drugs, but marijuana is a big one. So stop fooling yourself. And you got people, oh, no, I don't think so. Well, then again, as we close with that aspect, stop listening to that guy again, right? And for those of you wondering, no, that's not a dog. And last time I checked, you don't hunt zucchinis. Okay, this stuff, man, you think that, see, that's the lie, all right? That's Satan's repackaging. Oh, I'm just taking a trip. It's just stress relieving. No, it's not. You're opening up spiritual doors you don't want to mess with. Now, that leads us to the third thing. That's the practices. What else, what other practices do shamans use that also invite demonic activity and destroys people's lives? Well, again, before we get into that, let's remind ourselves what God says, not only about demonic practices like shamanism, but when he specifically, what does he say about people who try to blend the two together? Uh-oh. Churches wouldn't do that, would they? Yeah, unfortunately they would. But let's take a look at that passage. God has, you talk about some strong words. I mean, we see here in the scripture over and over again, Old Testament, New Testament, when God brings it, he talks about sorcery. He talks about witchcraft, right? The Old Testament covenant was what? When somebody was involved in the occult, what is it? It was the death penalty. God doesn't, don't mess with this stuff. This stuff is demonic. It's dangerous, right? He's got the same strong words, and we're going to bring that out in the Greek, for those who would dare try to think you could play both sides of the fence as a professing Christian. Acts chapter 8. And of course, it's the account of guess who? Simon the what? Sorcerer. Had a background in that and just kind of, maybe we tweak it a little bit. We could just make it Christian. Right? Simon the Sorcerer, chapter 8, verse 9. Here's what God says. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced what? Sorcery in the city, and he amazed all the people in Samaria. And he boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their what? Attention. And they exclaimed, whoa, this man is the divine power known as the great power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his what? Magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Well, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, stop right there. Acts is a transitional book. You're going from the old covenant to the new covenant, right? Some people say, well, see, this is why you need a second blessing, a second dose of the Holy Spirit, right? Because these people prayed and got saved, but they didn't get the Spirit until somebody came and laid hands on. This is a transitional book. And by the way, it's in the context. When you see, and it only happened a couple times until it was verified that, yes, Gentiles could get saved, and then it was the norm, okay, it's from there forward, it's always the moment you save, you're immediately indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. But these guys are living it live. And the other big thing, it wasn't just transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It was this. The Jewish people, and the first early church was Jewish people, right? And Jesus did tell them in the beginning, in the early church, you're going to be my witnesses where? Into not just Jerusalem, but Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The problem is what? They stuck around in Jerusalem. So God allowed persecution to get them to do what he said to do, because the gospel was for Jew and Gentile, right? But see, these guys are all Jews, right? And so they're going out finally, right? But they come to Samaria. Samaria, if you know the Jewish culture, they thought they were just like half-breeds, because they really were from the, if you will, they were from the tribes of the north, if I recall correctly, and they were kind of intermingled with the culture up there, and so they weren't even considered real Jews, right? And things of that nature by the Jewish population. So it's like, what? These people can get saved, right? And so God waited until the apostles got there, and then he gave them initially the Spirit, okay, in front of them so they could see it with their own eyes, that, oh, I guess it is for everybody. You get it? You understand that? But once this was established, that as you can see, that now the Gentiles are getting saved, from that point, it's always immediately. But do you see God's purpose and why he did that? It was for the apostles, the Jewish church, in the early church was all Jewish in the beginning, for them to see that, yes, in fact, it is for that. It has nothing to do with today. That, oh, you need a second blessing and spirit and prophet so-and-so is going to come here. He's going to lay a hand on you. As we saw in our How to Deal with Spiritual Warfare study, it's the issue is not getting more of the Spirit of God. You already got the Spirit of God. It's what? It's him getting more control of you, right? And that was a misunderstanding of the word filled with the Spirit. It means under the control of. It's not that you're lacking and I need more. Okay, and so I have to hit that because that's right there in this text. But anyway, so that's the purpose of what he was doing there. But let's get back to Simon the sorcerer. Okay, it says this, and then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given on, here's the phrase there, laying on of what? Not toes, not your elbow, what? Hands. There's going to be a theme tonight, hands, right? Hands, laying on the hands, okay, is what he saw. Here's what he says. And he said, he
offered them money.
Offered them money. What? And said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my what? Hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter answered, and he says, what? May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness of what? Thinking that you could pay with money to get supernatural abilities supposedly from God. Anybody doing that today?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a second. But what did he say? Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. And then, of course, he says, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Okay, is what we got there. So here we got a guy formerly involved in the occult. Okay, and with the occult, we're going to see tonight, one of the big things they did with their occult abilities is with the hand. Okay, and the next thing you know, he comes up and he sees the apostles doing something supernatural. And he says, well, I want that. And he did basically what the occult does. As we saw, if you guys recall in our Scientology study, I'm sure you got that one memorized, all 12 weeks. The first 3 weeks was all on L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology, his occult background. And if you know anything about Scientology, it's all about layers or levels to get to the supposed pinnacle of existence called being clear of all these engrams, all these things holding you back from your highest potential, blah, 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 right? But the problem was each one that you go, each technique that you go up, you have to pay. You have to pay in order to get to the next level. Remember that? It's a money-making scheme. They make buku millions of dollars off of it. But we saw that he got that idea from the occult guy, Aleister Crowley. L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons were doing satanic rituals, and they would write back to Crowley in England. This was down in the L.A. area. They would write back to Crowley, and they say, well, we got that level, and okay, but we want to go even deeper. Well, Crowley wasn't giving it out for free, so he says, okay, but you got to give me free. And so that's even where the Scientology got their idea of basically charging to get you to the next occult level, and they just twisted it, repackaged it as Scientology. Get that? Remember that? That's my point. That's what the occult does. You have to pay to get more occult powers. And one of the vehicles in which that you can display these occult powers is with your hand. Now, if you pray for somebody and you put your hands on them, that's what I'm saying. See, but my point is God does not use occult techniques to get the job done. I'm going to say that repeatedly. And that's the problem. People take occult techniques, okay, and then they slap Christianese on it and they think that somehow that's how God does it. No, he doesn't. He never uses occult practices. Right. But that's what we're going to see tonight, including with the charismatic movement. Now, again, I've been saying, well, that's strong words from God. You might be thinking, OK, well, that kind of strong words. It did say you repent and that was a wicked thing to do. And then it even said, may your money perish with you, because I'm sure that's how they said it. Right. No, the Greek says this. I kid you not. The Greek word there for perish literally is the Greek word apolia, and it means this, and I quote, to destroy with an utter destruction which consists with eternal misery in hell. So let me give you the what I believe is the correct vernacular rendering, and based on that word, literally what the apostles were saying. It literally is saying this. When he came and says, I want to buy that supernatural power, basically it was this: to hell with you and your money. That's what he's saying. How dare you treat God like he's some sort of cosmic sugar daddy, and that it's all about you and you getting power and you having supernatural abilities, and you think you could buy it? To hell with you and your money. You better repent of this wickedness. Strong words. Strong words. But again, it's a good sign that we don't see anybody in the church trying to blend the two. We'll get to that in a second. But let me give you a little bit more on Simon the Sorcerer. He appeared in the wake of the newly established church in Samaria. And all the people were amazed at him, as we saw there in the text. But he used sorcery, which is obviously strongly condemned by God. But it was common in the ancient world. And unfortunately, it's getting more common today. And so obviously, so he goes to Peter, or he goes to the apostles, and a person who was used to long time being in the sorcery, and they declared that he was the great power of God. You may not catch that, but that was a messianic title. So they felt like he was God. I mean, this was the man. He was it. So they arrive, and of course they see that, and he offers them money when they see that they were able to lay hands and receive the Holy Spirit. So he wanted to offer them money. And so Peter strongly reprimands Simon for his greed and states that he needs to repent of this wickedness. And after this event, the Bible never mentions him again. Now, the greed of Simon, based on this text, there's actually an English word that we use. It's called simony. Simony, based on this text here, is, quote, using religion as a means of profit. Comes directly out of this. Does that sound familiar? And it says there, so that's why, Christian, we must be careful today of those, quote, claiming to possess supernatural abilities, and those claiming to be Christians who desire to, quote, buy the gift of God with money, quote, because their heart is not right before God. And if you do that, God would basically say, to hell with you and your money. You better repent, man. That is wicked. Now, if you think it's not going on today, it is. And let me give you one modern example. It's called the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. And you got to pay to learn these secret techniques. Let's take a look at this promotion.
You are called to shape history. Born to impact the world. Created to leave a legacy. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Through him, he has given the church the power to bring individuals and nations into freedom. We are committed to seeing Jesus get what he paid for, a world transformed through you. Driven by a passion to raise up revivalists who pursue God, live the gospel, and release the kingdom in every sphere of influence. Revivalists who will go into all the world, say what he is saying, and do what he is doing. We believe we owe the world an encounter with the living God. Will you say yes?
A no, because it's modern-day simony. And the Bible's very clear. If you have a gift from God, it happens at the moment you get saved. I don't need to go to school for it. And these guys are raking in multi-millions of dollars. And what we're going to see is their techniques, not from God, man. Straight up a cult, but they slap Christianese on it. And I quote from their website, just the tuition cost right about $6,000 per year for every student. Thousands of people go through this, if you can believe that. They're making buku bucks off of this. It's modern day simony. It's the sin of Simon. What did he do? I'll give you some money so you can teach me how to have this supernatural power, because it's all about me and what I can do, and I can change, and I... Sound familiar? It's exactly the sin of Acts chapter 8 with Simon. Okay? And again, I would say, God would say, to Bethel, to hell with you and your money. To hell with you and your school. That you better repent. You're trying to sell supernatural abilities, and it's wrong. If you think that's harsh, we're going to get into it a little bit deeper, okay? So my question is this. How in the world did modern-day simony get into the church and it's accepted, and then you and I are looked down upon that we're the spiritual weaklings and the dum-dums, right? Well, believe it or not, it's another repackaging of shamanism, because a lot of what these guys are doing, including Bethel, is not just voodoo repackaged, it's shamanism repackaged, okay? And we're going to take a look at that. So again, so if Satan can't fool you with getting you connected with demons through drugs and certainly marijuana, as we saw last time, again, as you saw on that video with Bethel, what was the big thing? Did you notice people were always big on what are they doing? They're supposed to be demonstrating the supernatural power, specifically in the realm of what? They can go and what? Heal people. Well, again, we're going to see where their techniques are coming from. It's not from God, okay? So if Satan can't fool you with this, he'll fool you with shamanic healing. But you can't say shamanic healing because that's so obvious that this is from shamanism, which is the occult. So you just got to relabel it, right? And that's basically what they've done. But let's talk about this. This is a main thrust. Okay, again, what do we say? The shaman's not just called the holy man, the priest and all that stuff. He's called the what? Medicine man and the witch what? Doctor. Healing is a, supposed healing, is a big aspect of shamanism. But in order to get it, right, what do you got to do? You got to connect with demons first, right? And so let's take a look at what they do. And then let's start doing some comparison. The shaman's role is to utilize the power of the spirit world, i.e. demons, to provide complete guidance over the lives of others with the supposed goal of making their lives better. Okay? And so he pursues the best spirits, demons he can find that will lead people in all respects, especially, quote, their health. Again, he's the medicine man. He's the witch doctor and things of that nature. And so he uses these techniques to supposedly heal the sick. Okay, and only he possesses this supernatural knowledge, not the rest of you low lives there. And shamanic healing, pay attention to this, is a powerful way, and this is, again, this is their own definition. It's a powerful way to, quote, shift your energy, transform your life, and unlock your potential. You know what that sounds like? That commercial we just saw, but they slapped Christianese on it. You can learn these techniques to bring healing to the masses. And then unlock your potential. It's shamanism. They just changed the names, okay? And again, they use this today for those people who need healing, quote, beyond the physical, okay? Now, they call this process of going into a shaman for supposed healing and direction, whatever, and him connecting with the demons, and we're going to see the big part of that is the hand to transfer this demonic power through your body for supposed healing, okay? They have a phrase for it, and it's called a, when you do that, you're submitting to and going on a shamanic journey, okay, is what they call that, okay? And so keep that in mind. But it's when they're seeking these spirits to help you, i.e. demons, to guide, assist, and to heal, okay, and things of that nature. And in order to do that, they get into these altered states of consciousness and, quote, things begin to appear, okay? And then shamans form a, quote, spiritual marriage with their spirit guides. So what's that? Basically, it's a creative way of saying he's possessed. Right? They're controlling him now. They're in complete union together. We would just call that possession. But you can't say that because that's too obvious and freak people out. Right? But let's go on. But let me share with you, here is a person submitting to a shamanic journey, having a shaman doing his things, his techniques, as he's getting into a trance-like state, an altered consciousness, and then the demon power starts to flow through him for supposed healing for somebody else. But this is how the shamans do it. Let's take a look at this example. Thank you. Notice again the use of the hands as a big part of that occult practice. But I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm a little biased. I don't know. But I'm thinking, you know, some guy blowing secondhand smoke all over me, sprinkling dust from a feather duster all over my body, drinking alcohol, sucking on my forehead, spitting on the ground, and touching me with his grubby hands. Doesn't sound healthy to me. But this is what they do, right? You get connected to the demons and all these practices and altered state of consciousness, and things begin to flow through your body, and it's supposed to heal you. Now, basically what you saw was what I would call the demon version of healthcare. Remember, he's the medicine man. He's the witch doctor. And this is a big part of what a shaman does. Now, there's three reasons why they do that. They say because, whether you realize it or not, you need healing. And it isn't just physical. There's three areas that they say that this is going to help you. Mentally, and then, of course, yeah, they say physically. Okay, but also emotionally. And keep that in mind. We're going to see that later. But these three areas, mentally, physically, and emotionally, that this demonic health care and action can help you. And I quote, if you face any physical, emotional, or mental disease or imbalance, and you've tried conventional medicine for healing, but with no improvement, you can benefit from a shamanic healing session. That's what's how it's being pitched. Okay, as you can see, the Westerners are eating it up, okay? And they say this, quote, so in the days, weeks, and months following the session on this shamanic journey, you may want to observe how you feel. A new, vibrant life energy will take its place. Yeah, you probably leave with a demon or two, okay, things of that nature. But that's your shamanic journey. And they says you will be induced into, quote, a trance-like state via, and again, you saw it's not just drugs. That was last week. But they also use, like voodoo, rhythmic percussion, usually a drum, as in this case was the rattle, and even the feather duster had a rattle, apparently. Okay, but it's just that monotonous, and you keep that up, you're going to get, you know, in an altered state of consciousness. And then the spirits, it'll connect you with the spirit helpers, demons, okay, for wisdom and healing. Their non-physical journey may translate into a shaman's, listen, hands-on energy work, and they will channel that energy, demons, from the spirit world throughout your body. This is the practice of the medicine man, the witch doctor. This is how he does it. Now here's the point. You're saying, well, I don't care about that. That's just too freaky for me, man. Ain't no way I'm going to go on some shamanic journey and have some guy blow secondhand smoke on me and spit alcohol all over the place and get grubby hands and feather duster puke. And well, see, this is what Satan does. He takes old-fashioned shamanic healing from witch doctors, medicine men, and if you won't fall for that, he'll repackage it. And he's done it a few different ways, and it's led its way into the church. We're going to trace the trail. The first repackaging, because if that was too freaky for you, some guy, hey, right? Then, hey, let's take the same package and let's relabel it as it's New Age healing. You know, it's not demonic shamanic healing. That's too obvious, right? That might freak you out. So let's just call it New Age healing. And then we're back to that voice that you know who shared with us last week. I won't mention his name, but you know who he is. But if you're wondering, he's right over there. And his name happens to be Brian, but I won't tell you, but his name is Brian. Anyway, but basically it's New Age healing. And it's all it is shamanic practices with a new label on it. And a whole nother slice of people are getting sucked up into this. Now, they don't want to say just New Age, because sometimes that gets a bad connotation. So today, and specifically we're on the realm of healing, supposed healing, it's called holistic healing. I'm not barfing, it's called rolfing. Therapeutic touch, energy anatomy, body work, and that's right, crystal therapy. Because if you lay rocks on you, you can have a healing. That's part of the practice. Let's take a look at that. Right? So if that other guy freaked you out, maybe you could try this one, which, of course, I'm being sarcastic.
Using your intuition, place the crystals you have selected on the body at the chakra points or those areas that have been previously identified. You may like to place a grounding crystal like tourmaline or smoky quartz at the feet, just to anchor the energy of the person you're working with. If at any time you feel inspired or compelled to place extra crystals, remember to trust your intuition, starting with the base chakra. Hover your hand just above the crystal placed there and imagine white light coming in through your crown chakra,
flowing down through your body, through your arm, and out of your palm, so that you're bathing this beautiful crystal in this white light energy. Before moving, imagine the white light forming into a ball of energy about the size of your fist, and imagine that dissolving down into the base chakra. Repeat this process for all other six chakras. When you reach the crown chakra, you can move to the top of the bed or the table and place both palms over the crown chakra and repeat the process.
Notice again the use of the what? The hand. What was the conduit to transfer supposedly this power for healing? Was with the hands. Common throughout that, but hey! I don't know about you, but that seemed a lot more palatable than, right? I mean, she was such a pleasant voice. It was just, hello, right there. What's that? Rally, I do, rally. I need your British crumpet. That's what I say. Right, hold the rock in the chakra, right? Isn't that much more better than, right? All it is repackaged shamanism. Right, including with the usage of crystals, rocks, you name it. They do the exact same thing, people. Right? So if he can't schnooker you with a shamanic journey, with a he'll flip it and, oh, it's new age. See how wonderful and awesome. And then you know you're spiritual if you speak British. Right? You ever noticed that one? But anyway, so again, that's how they suck you in. Now, they call it different names. Again, it's the holistic health movement. Doesn't that sound better? It could be they use different occult practices. You saw one with the chakra mindset, which is out of Hinduism and things of that nature. The awakening the kundalini spirit from the base of the spine, which is not something you want to mess with. But they promote acupuncture, biofeedback, yoga, applied kinesiology, homeopathy, areopathy, the iridology, therapeutic massage. By the way, have you seen some of the massage billboards or whatever they promote around Vegas? You know, when you check into our hotel, you can get a massage. But what are they showing on people laying down? They got these rocks on them. And it's supposed to help you. What's all that all about? Body work, nutritional therapy, psychic healing, herbal medicine, chromotherapy, reincarnation therapy, angel therapy. Man, that's got to be good for you. And that's right, Reiki, if you guys haven't familiar with that one. But let's watch that practice, right? So if you didn't like the rocks being on you, you can skip the rocks and go to this one. Let's take a look at this practice.
Hi, my name is Nandini Narayanan, and I'm a Reiki practitioner. I have my training in Karuna Reiki and Usui Reiki, different forms. And Reiki is just a wonderful, beautiful, healing form of energy work. The beauty of Reiki is really in its simplicity, that you show up, you lay on a massage table fully clothed, and you begin to receive Reiki from the Reiki practitioner's hands. We might place our hands directly on you or just hover our hands right above, whatever is comfortable for you. The benefits of Reiki are really multiple. It helps on levels of physical balancing, emotional, mental, and spiritual. So in just as similar to yoga or acupuncture and other forms of energy work,
so much has been discussed about Reiki healing in today's world of integrated healthcare, but there's still some confusion about what Reiki really is. So today I'm talking to an expert to find out why Reiki can help with overall wellness. So I'm here with Terry Kirsting, who is a holistic health practitioner. Now, Terry, for our friends that don't understand what Reiki is, I think the first thing we need to know is what it's all about.
Reiki energy healing is a Japanese technique of stress reduction, relaxation, and it also promotes healing. Everything in the universe is energy. Everything, including emotions. When we have emotions, we can have emotional blocks that we hold on to, and that can affect that pure life force energy. So Reiki is about helping to release those blocks.
Is it just for mental, or is it in physical, or is it really an overall wellness that you're going for with Reiki?
Oh, absolutely, overall wellness. I mean, as a holistic health practitioner, you're looking at mind, body, and spirit. It's very healing in all respects. There are even hospitals that are now using it.
Hospitals? Hey, the only Reiki you should know is be raking in your backyard with the leaves in the trash bag, right? But that's not what... Notice again, what was the conduit? Hands. The occult always uses the transfer of power was the hands, right? And go back to our text. Simon, when he saw them laying on the hand, but he came out of the occult, so I was like, oh, I'd done that before. Of course, he was doing it with a different power right then. But notice what she called it, integrated healthcare. Doesn't that sound scientific? And basically what you're seeing is occult practices now merging with the medical community as if it wasn't bad enough. And the goal is what? Is to supposedly, through these spiritual techniques, demonic, warmed over, repackaged shamanism, witch doctor, medicine man, to mentally, emotionally, and physically fix people, supposedly, their mind, body, and spirit. New Age healthcare believes that the human system is susceptible to higher spiritual powers. You may not realize it or whatever, but in order to get you fixed, you need spirits and spiritual powers to get a spiritual healing. And they do this by the New Age healers accessing, quote, invisible energy fields, which is a fancy way of saying demons, to manipulate and heal body ailments and bring heightened spiritual awareness to their patients. Yeah, opening up spiritual doors like the marijuana and things of that nature. The New Age healer moves their, quote, hands over the patient's body using these spiritual healing techniques. And does that sound familiar? Let's go back to some of the charismatic community that want to convince you and I that we're a bunch of lowlives. We got it all wrong. And they got proof as to why. They've learned some secret techniques, and that they have now got supernatural powers. And it is their duty to share them with people. And what they said, you know, you don't understand, you weren't there, man. I was jumping up and down for 45 minutes. I was singing this song. I mean, I was getting to an altered state of consciousness. I mean, I was in the spirit. Yeah, whose spirit? And then all of a sudden, I've heard this so many times, but all of a sudden, man, my hands got hot. They got super hot. They were so hot, man, I couldn't even take it. And I knew right then and there I had the power to heal people, and I had to. So if your hands get hot, that means it's got to be from God. No. First of all, have you ever met somebody that had like really sweaty hands? Let's go a little deeper, folks. Have you ever had the pastor go, hey, let's demonstrate our unity as the church. Let's end the service and hold hands. And you can't even think about the prayer. You're thinking about that person you're holding hands with. You happen to hold hands, first of all, is bad enough. With the sweaty hand guy. And you go, oh, come on. And then you're saying, okay, where was that hand sanitizer dispenser? Right? Or you get the guy that's got the mold. You go, what is that, a milk dud? Okay, it's bad enough with the sweaty hands thing. But does that make you spiritual? Okay, so if you got hot hands, oh, that had to be from God. Because they said after they got of course, you don't say, hey, I got into an altered state of consciousness. I was induced into a trance by these techniques. You can't say that. I was in the spirit. And then my hands got so, it had to be from God. That was healing power from God. No, this is a common sensation of people involved in the occult. Again, notice the hands. And I don't discount that some of these people, you know, we may laugh. Hey, look at that. They got the rocks on them with that lady. Who would do that? Or are you kidding me? That guy laid there. Well, that guy was going. Right? And it was always hovering with the hands. I don't discount that people submitting themselves to this treatment don't feel something. I don't discount that. But it ain't the Spirit of God. Satan does counterfeits all the time. But even the so-called hot hands thing is not something that guarantees it's from God at all. Where it comes from is the occult. Let me give you one. This is a shamanism in the Orient. But watch what they experience all the time. Watch this.
Today's video topic is something I love to talk about because I do feel a personal connection to it, because ever since I was little, I loved martial arts, and as I was growing up, I loved watching martial arts movies. And for a while there, I actually tried to actively seek out kung fu masters and secret martial arts techniques. But anyway, martial arts, kung fu, tai chi, qigong, these were all things I was extremely interested in. And because it seems like a lot of these practitioners of martial arts, when they get to a certain level, they start attaining what would seem like supernatural abilities. For example, breaking bricks like styrofoam, or licking burning hot coal without getting hurt, or even developing the ability to heal. And that brings us to today's topic on Master Zhou Tingjue. Master Zhou is known as the healer of healer, and is also called the jewel of China. Decades of mastery of Kung Fu, Tai Chi, and Qigong, Master Zhou's most incredible ability is that he has hands that can heal many ailments. By simply identifying points in the body, Master Zhou is able to realign energy centers and correct any problem that causes the body to fall ill. Soon enough, he appeared in programs from Ripley's Believe It or Not to the History Channel's Stan Lee's Superhuman, where it was discovered that Master Zhou needs to only use his bare hands to treat ailments. Having developed his skills in Qigong for over 70 years, the secret to Master Zhou's healing touch is the heat that emanates from his hands. Scientists who have come to see him have been simply baffled by it, and people who have been healed by him stand by just how effective his powers really are. In several documented events, steam could even be seen coming out of his hands as he conducted his procedures. During his appearance on Ripley's Believe It or Not, a thermal camera even captured heat signatures that registered about 200 degrees Fahrenheit coming from the Qigong master's hands.
Well, it had to be from God, because I felt heat in my hands, and that was a sign that he was going to heal. Colt used it all the time. That's a sign, technically, that the demonic powers is flowing through that person, through their hands. And again, what's the theme? It's for healing. So just because you got hot hands and you Christianize it doesn't mean that's from the Spirit of God. In fact, let me get a little bit more spiritual proof on that one. Spiritual meanings of hot hands, and this is a secular article. Many cultures and traditions believe that hot hands are from the, quote, spirit realm, and a sign of a connection with the spirit realm, obviously demons, and for healing. The sensation can occur spontaneously, triggered by certain activities like meditation and energy work is when it shows up. They refer to them in their cultures as the chi or ki or the prana, some of them call the mudras, but it's the power in the hand, the life force, animism. Remember, they believe in animism, and that it's flowing through you now, through your hands, as the conduit. Quote, with the connection with the divine, but obviously that's not from God. And they're used for, when your hands get hot like that, healing energy, spiritual awakening. Not even in my notes, but as soon as I said that, I thought of this. You ever see somebody in a so-called church service go forward, and a guy takes his hand on their head, and something happens to him? The only time in Scripture you see people falling back under the genuine power of God is under judgment. But when you see something happening from somebody's hand, that is not from God. It's not the biblical example. But they use it for healing, energy, spiritual awakening, and, quote, connection to the spirit realm, which obviously would be demonic. Hot hands are used in different cultures, including the Chinese, medicine, as you just saw, Hinduism, Buddhism, Reiki, as you just saw the example, and I quote, Native American traditions. What's that? Shamanism. It's all been repackaged, man. Hot hands are associated with shamanic power and healing energy, and shamans are believed to have the ability to channel healing energy through their hands, which may result in a sensation of warmth or heat. So again, I had to kick that just because your hands are hot, and it doesn't mean it's from God. Okay. Things of that nature. Now, this whole process, as we saw, with the shamanic journey is what they call it. Remember, so when you submit to this, you're on a shamanic journey, so you can what? Be a better person mentally, physically, and emotionally, right? Well, you can't call it that if you're going to relabel it, because that sounds too shamanic. That's too obvious. So the new term that's used out there by the New Age and secular psychology is this term. You can't call it a shamanic journey. It's called self-actualization. Huh? Doesn't that sound wonderful? That's all it is. It's a repackaging. Now, that phrase there, self-actualization, actually came from this guy, Abraham Maslow, who, quote, said, and I'm not joking, that his life's work as a psychologist was motivated by his absolute hatred of his mother. That's in secular print. So I'm going to listen to him for family advice. When he said, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, what I'm coming up with my so-called secular theories to make you better mentally, emotionally, and physically, and to be a whole person, is because I absolutely detest my mom. And there's a story behind that. But anyway, but still, are you serious? That's just the tip of the iceberg. He also stated, quote, all people who were religious were either hypocrites or what's the word there? Feeble-minded. Remember where that came from in our Klaus Schwab studies? That's the eugenics movement. Those who were morons, misfits, feeble-minded, that's the ones that don't shouldn't live. You're either going to get sterilized or killed. So he was of that mindset, pun intended, and he said that science was a god and that human sexuality is just like primate sexuality. Okay, but here's the big thing. Remember self-actualization. Well, this is it. You may have heard of this other thing. He called it, he developed something that's completely unbiblical. We'll see that in a second. It's called the hierarchy of needs. And you have to follow Maslow's hierarchy of needs in order to have a fulfilling life, in order to be completely fixed mentally, physically, and emotionally, right? And here's what he did. He said that in order for you to be fulfilled, to achieve all you can be, self comes first, which is the first law of Satanism. And one needs to esteem themselves above all and meet all self needs first before you can have love and love other people and a fulfilling life, right? And if you do that, self comes first and do whatever self needs and self wants and whatever, then you could reach the top pinnacle, which he called self-actualized. Right? And again, selfism, the number one law of Satanism is do what you want shall be the whole law. It's selfism. So that's really what he's doing. But he says that's how you're going to become a whole person, i.e. self-actualized, when self comes first and you do whatever. That's the only way you're ever going to be whole mentally, physically, and emotionally. The Bible says the greatest fulfilled life is one who loves God first, then your neighbor second, esteeming them even above yourself, Scripture says, and then denying yourself and being willing to suffer if need be for God. That's how God says you want a fulfilling life, do that. Directly opposite, okay? So that's where that self-actualization, again, it's just a relabeling of the shamanic, go on to the shamanic journey so that through the interaction with these spirits, you can become a whole person mentally, physically, emotionally. So he relabels it. He calls it self-actualization, right? In order to achieve wholeness, the human potential and all you can be. New Age comes along, and they'll use his term still to this day. And they'll use self-actualization, but they also will call it ascension healing. Achieving your highest potentiality. And again, the issue is, it's not just submitting to this demonic healing technique. Because they believe that you're through these demonic powers, that of course they don't call them demonic, but these demonic powers, that you're not just being healed physically of something, but you're being healed internally, emotionally, and mentally by these spirits to achieve your highest. Do you see what they're doing? In fact, I want you to hear the New Age movement relabel self-actualization. In their own terms. Watch this.
Hey guys, I'm Sharon and I'm here at the Mind Body Spirit Festival down at Darling Harbour, our new venue, ICC. Today I'm with the lovely Regita, and Regita is going to give me my first experience on a shamanic ascension healing. Regita, can you tell me a little bit more about what I'm about to experience today?
Thank you, Sharon. Well, Sharon today is going to go through what's called an ascension upgrade, clearing all her energy field, all her meridians, any of her chakras that are blocked, anywhere there may be something in her luminous frequency that requires to be reset, recalibrated, reactivated, and then energized to her highest potentiality. She'll experience that on the table with ease and grace.
Now you experience it with demons and the devil, but you can't say that, so you say ease and grace. That sounds great, doesn't it? But basically, notice again, in order to achieve a wholeness of your being, not just physically, you need to submit to this process with this demonic power flowing through a person's hand with these spiritual techniques, and that's an ascension healing, ascension upgrade, your highest potentiality. It's at the Mind, Body, Spirit Festival. Do you see the commonality of what's going on here? Shamanism, the whole thing, going on a shamanic journey. It isn't just being healed physically, but through these demonic powers, you can become a whole person. And I quote one more time from shamanism, if you face any physical, emotional, mental disease or imbalance, okay, then you can benefit from a, quote, shamanic healing session. It's all the same thing. It's just repackaged. Because if he can't get you with this one over here, right, then he'll repackage it and try to get you over here. And then, again, you even see the merging of New Age terms with secular psychology, which tells you they come from the same root. They will also call this process New Age self-help and motivational psychology. New Age self-help, transpersonal and motivational psychology. Personal development, self-actualization, self-empowerment, mind science, new thought, and mind-body-soul healing. It's all the same thing. But hey, that's right. If shamanic healing, and putting rocks on you, going, if that freaks you out, don't worry. There's another repackaging. Okay? And all, you know what all this is, guys? Listen. It's just simply alternative medicine. That's all. It's just an alternative. That's all it is. Right? So if the other thing ain't working for you, you know, try this alternative. Now, it's also, because they make it sound, this one's kind of scientific-y, right? It doesn't appear at all to be spiritual, because that might freak you out. They call this, not just alternative medicine, they call it, quote, complementary medicine, or CM, complementary and alternative medicine, or CAM, C-A-M, or, you heard her say it, integrated medicine, holistic medicine. And I quote, where people now use a set of products, practices, and theories that are supposed to produce the same healing effects of medicine, but do not originate from the scientific method, and I quote, but instead rely upon supernatural energies. Well, doesn't that sound better than demons and the devil? Yeah, that's the same thing. And it is big bucks today. And dare I say, with the COVID pandemic stuff, people are rightly upset with, quote, traditional medicine. Unfortunately, the enemy's right there saying, hey, try this alternative. And they're backing up into the occult, right? But let's take a look at how much money they make.
Did you take your vitamin C this morning? Echinacea, folic acid, or fish oil? Have you had acupuncture, a remedial massage, or seen a herbalist? If you have, you are certainly not alone. It's called alternative or complementary medicine, a booming industry worth at least $2 billion a year. Its products and therapies are used by more than half the population. You don't need a crystal ball to tell that this is a big business. And at the rate it's growing, Australians will soon be spending more on alternative pills and alternative therapies than they do on conventional medicine.
What's this? Come on.
Wheatgrass juice. Yeah, it helps fill your body out and clear the toxin from your body.
This is the Mind, Body and Spirit Festival in Melbourne recently. A sort of medical convention for the unconventional. Got a sinus problem? Prescription antibiotics can't hold a candle to this treatment.
The medical profession can't pretend that this is not happening. It is happening. The revolution is here.
I chose to submit myself to William Twofeather, a traditional Apache medicine man. I don't like taking pills or potions, but Twofeather asked me to swallow nothing more than the extraordinary idea that sound, tone and vibration can repair the ravages of a long journalistic life. It'll be an unusual and an extended treatment. Time enough to ponder whether I'm entering the twilight of rationality or the new dawn of modern medicine.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I'm thinking pounding a drum over the top of my head ain't going to get rid of my headache. I don't know. I'm just stuck in the mud. I just ain't, can't get with the times. Are you kidding me? Alternative message. I mean, it is an alternative. It's an alternative repackaging of shamanism in different forms, different techniques. But again, they call it complementary medicine, complementary alternative medicine, integrated medicine, things of that nature. But basically what you're seeing is the occult version, the medicine man, the witch doctor practices, is now merging with what we would call traditional medicine. As you saw in Australia, which has a large indigenous population, they're starting to go to that more than traditional. And then remember what we saw in our witchcraft study? That witchcraft in Africa is now merging with their hospitals because they don't have enough doctors and nurses. So they're merging that. And so this is the wave of now, quote, the new wave of medicines. And as the lady said, traditional doctors need to admit this. But it isn't just admit it. As we saw with the practice of Reiki, even here in the West, they're merging that into hospitals. So it's already coming, but it's being pitched as a good thing. But hey, that's right. If shamanic healing and new age healing and alternative medicine, if that bugs you too much or freaks you out, don't worry. Believe it or not, Satan has repackaged it for the church. Right? And it looks something like this. You just call it the Bethel Supernatural School of Healing. Huh? And somehow that makes it from God. Right? In fact, one of their big things, just like shamanism, is healing rooms, right? Not go study the Bible room, that would be a concept, but a healing room. And again, notice that it's the hand thing. You got to have the hands, you got to get induced in this trance, and then you got to learn these techniques and pay money for it, and you get these techniques with your hands and your hands and your hands. Where have I seen that before? Doesn't mean it's from God, okay? And but let's take a look at their healing rooms and how they're promoting it. And how do they get in these healing rooms people to, quote, connect with the Spirit? Which, of course, you have to say is the Holy Spirit because you're supposed to be a Christian, right? But let's take a look at them.
And so now, Holy Spirit, we invite you just to begin to move in this place. Lord, we ask Jesus, the captain of the host, begin to release right now in our midst, Lord, those ministering spirits, those angels. Oh, Lord, just begin, Lord, to set them on assignment right now. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, right now that you'd begin to move upon us. Lord, we know this is a very special week, a very special day. There's something powerful that's happening and shifting right now in the atmosphere over the Central Coast. Now, Holy Spirit, would you just begin to thicken your presence right now in this room? Begin to increase. Those of you watching by streaming, let His presence go right through that screen into that room where you're right now watching. Let His presence come on you right now. And Lord, we just say, Lord, just increase right now. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're healing, even in your glory, even in your presence right now. Lord, we receive healing. If you come today and you need healing in your body or you're watching by streaming, just place your hand on that part of your body or near that part of your body that needs a miracle today. And I believe God's going to heal you right now. So Lord, right now we release your healing love.
What was he using? And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but apparently the Holy Spirit is dependent on the internet to make it to other people's homes. And then with his hand, inviting this supposed to be the Spirit of God, you use your hand to transfer that for your healing, even if you're not there in that healing room. And the healing room, as you saw before he started his hand thing, and inviting the Holy Spirit of God, who is omnipresent, and if you're a born-again Christian, he's with you wherever you go. But he's asking him to come now and move when he's already there. But anyway, so... how'd you get into that state? Music. For quite a while. And then all of a sudden, here comes the hand. Take your hand with the hand. Now the scripture talks about the apostles laying on the hands and things of that nature. I'm not against that. But I'm telling you this, and I'll say it again. God does not use occult techniques to get the job done. God can still heal today. He can do whatever in the world he wants today, but he doesn't use occult techniques. And that's all this stuff is, folks. And by the way, you shouldn't have to pay for it. But it's the Holy Spirit he's leaving. But anyway, what is it? So again, well, it had to have been from God because we were there listening to music, man, for real, and I was just feeling the Spirit. Well, what Spirit? And again, I wonder who else uses music in their healing rooms to get people into an altered state of consciousness so a Spirit will then manifest and supposedly provide healing. Well, it rhymes with shamanic healing. This is a big part of their deal. Not just with drugs. They use music, again, just like voodoo, to get into an altered state of consciousness to connect. But see, you can Christianize it. That's what they're doing, basically. And somehow it makes it Christian, and it's not. It has nothing to do with that. Now, first of all, just Bethel, we could be here all day. We've dealt with them in our charismatic chaos study, the untold history of the charismatic movement, for 42 weeks, who's counting? I was. But just to show you folks, these guys, I would say, honestly, God's got some strong words for these folks. They are leading so many people astray, it's not even funny. But let me give you an example, and I just had somebody email this to this week. As we saw before, much of what's called music ministry today has been basically, it's voodoo revamped. It's Christian voodoo. Remember that? Okay. In fact, speaking of voodoo, watch this. This is what they sent to me. Remember in our last study on voodoo, the American voodoo, we had Louisiana voodoo, and the second half was hoodoo voodoo. Remember that? And remember one of the paraphernalia that the hoodoo had? It was called the honey jar. Right? And you do the honey jar ritual and do all that stuff, and then it's supposed to sweeten your circumstances, right? Or sweeten favor for you in your life. Watch this. This is from Bethel. I climbed inside the honey pot, and when I got out, the sweet, weighty presence of Jesus was all over me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's voodoo, folks. They just made a big, giant voodoo honey pot. Of course, you can't do a pot because a person can't fit into it. So this is voodoo. It's nuts. Now, they do the same thing when it comes to these other practices, right? Of course, you don't call it demonic shamanic healing. That's too obvious, right? And that people are catching on to New Age terms. So what do you call it? It's now called, their techniques that you and I need to learn in order to get a healing is physics of heaven. It's got to be Christian. It said heaven. Well, unfortunately, that's about as deep as some people's discernment goes. But no, this is flat out New Age shamanic techniques, and they admit they're merging it into their, what I don't even want to call a church. And I quote from this book. In 2012, Judy Franklin and Ellen Davis published a book titled The Physics of Heaven. Judy Franklin is the administrative assistant to Bill Johnson, the senior pastor at Bethel. The preface was written by a guy named Chris Valiton, senior associate leader at Bethel, Bill Johnson's right-hand man. The book begins with praises by Banning Liebscher, the director of Jesus Culture at Bethel, and Steve Witt, the senior leader of Bethel Church of Cleveland, among others. Bill Johnson wrote two chapters, and his wife, Benny Johnson, wrote one chapter in this. And let me give you some quotes from this book. And this is how they say, and this is how they're training in their so-called supernatural school people. And you tell me if this has anything to do with God. And I quote, Ellen has had a desire, this is a direct quote from the book, Ellen has had a desire to bridge the gap between Christianity and the discoveries of quantum physics, as well as discover God's truths, quote, hidden in quantum mysticism and the New Age. God has nothing to do with New Age. He doesn't hide his truth in New Age. It gets worse. Quote, she wrote, it wasn't that I wanted to become a New Ager. I just wanted to find out if maybe they had uncovered some truths that the church hadn't. It gets worse. I have found throughout Scripture at least 75 examples of things that the New Age has, such as spirit guide, trances, meditation, auras, power objects, clairvoyance, clairaudience, and more. They actually belong to the church. No, they're occult practices that God condemns. Two more quotes. Now we are beginning to hear more and more revelation. Again, that's the big problem. Where are they getting this? Well, God told me to tell you, and no, you can't, don't scoff, don't touch the Lord's anointed. God told me, they're not getting it from the Bible. It's called outside revelation. God told me to, well, you can't. That's why you never budge from this book. But she said this, now we're beginning to hear more and more revelation that is in line with New Agers have been saying all along, and we are hearing more and more teaching about Christians taking back truths from the New Age that really belong to the citizens of the kingdom of God. We don't take back nothing from New Age. New Age is condemned by God. It's a cult practice. But there's a merging of the two, and they admit, quote, they all agree that the next move of God will cause a shift at the deepest level of who we are, perhaps at the very vibrational level, which is a New Age term, and that the New Age movement, it's what also they have been exploring. These are the techniques that they're teaching at the school. Does that sound anything like from God? Of course not. Now, Benny Johnson, again, also encourages, quote, sound frequencies and the use of tuning forks for healing, which is, again, a New Age practice. She also encourages, and this is a direct quote, the practice of holy yoga. And see, because you called it holy yoga, that somehow makes it okay. No. That's like saying, yummy chicken. Nice try. Nice try. Yeah, you know what I mean. But anyway, so no, that's what they do. They Christianize it, right? Christian yoga, holy yoga. No, it's yoga. It's condemned by God. And she also promotes a practice called grounding, which, and this is at their school, which is walking barefoot for at least a half an hour a day in order to connect our bodies with the energies of the earth and recharge our bodies and recalibrate our cells and hormones, blah, blah, blah. They also practice transcendental meditation, but you can't call it that because that's too obvious. They call it soaking, right? Which is none other than transcendental meditation with a new aim. And soaking is practice. Here's how you do it. It's the same thing as transcendental meditation. Been there, done that. Wish I wouldn't have bought the t-shirt before I got saved. Soaking is a practice of making oneself listen comfortable, playing music, and emptying oneself. How? By saying a word over and over and over and over. This is what they teach here. That's Hare Krishnas do that with their mantra, which gets them into the mindless, right? But that's also to create your own reality. But you can't say it's transcendental meditation because it's too obvious. You just call it soaking. And during a soaking session, one example of what happens when you do this, in the presence of Benny Johnson, one man who was soaking in a soaking session communicated with his deceased sister and another dead girl. What does that tell you? The spirit showing up ain't from God. That's demonic. You're inviting demonic activity because that ain't your dead loved one. They ain't coming back. Right? And that's right. Apparently, it's a gesture of kindness or torture for you and I who may not have the ability to drive all the way to their school. But we would like to have the supernatural power too. Did you know they actually sell a soaking kit? Oh, I'm not kidding. And it's only $50, man. Watch this. This is crazy.
We have about 1,000 soaking centers that are going on around the world. Fawson told me it's not 63 nations anymore. It's something like 72 nations.
Yay!
And we just want to let you guys know that you are changing the world where you are. And this is one of our soaking prayer kits here. This happens to be a Spanish one, Carol.
Wow, and that's great.
Immersion in El Espiritu. Join with us, and we're going to pray for all the soaking prayer center leaders that are watching tonight.
We
and
are.
Just bless them right where they are. Can we do that? Father, in the name of Jesus,
yes, Lord.
The wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit goes right through the internet into their homes in Jesus' name. Let fire come down on them, Lord. Yes, let healing flow. Let wisdom flow. Let dreams and dream interpretation flow. Oh, God, bring the kingdom right into these homes and churches where soaking is going on.
You're not bringing God's kingdom in. You're bringing in a satanic realm. Just warmed over occult practice. Warmed over shamanism. And you know what's sad? They admitted it. Probably worse today. That was an older video. 72 countries around the world. They've been infested with this, claiming it to be from God. And it's a warmed over, relabeled occult practice. It's not just unbiblical. What are we talking about here? What? And out of the kindness of their heart, you can get this for free. No, but it's going to cost you $50. I wonder how much shipping and handling. Now, what is this? Go back to Acts chapter 8. Simony. That God said, to hell with you and your money. You better repent of this wickedness to think that you could teach, you could with money acquire, supposedly for me, supernatural techniques so you can have the power to do amazing things. The fiscal year, and the earliest I can get was 2017-2018 of Bethel Church. They pulled in $21.6 million. Just from offerings, They also reported $60.8 million. The bulk of that came from sales, services, and royalties. They also have Bethel TV, Bethel Music, Bethel Media that streams on air in more than 150 countries worldwide to paid subscribers. And Bethel earns income from their multiple school tuitions at a point of $13.7 million. People annually are paying to learn supernatural techniques. And can I tell you something? In fact, I'll be a little bit more blunt. God would say, Bethel, to hell with you and your money. Who do you think you are? You better repent of this wickedness. Now, again, I didn't say that, folks. Let's just take a look at the Word of God now as we reach this point. Acts 8, 20, 21, 22. May your money perish with you. What's it mean in the Greek? To hell with you and your money. Why? Because you thought you could what? Buy the gift of God with what? Money. If God's going to give you a gift, you get it at salvation. Your heart is not right for God, right? Before God. So repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. That would be my message to Bethel and anybody involved in this. You got duped, man. You need to repent. This is wicked. This is modern day simony. And these practices are not from God. And guess what? His abilities are not for sale. That's from Satan. And just to show you that, folks, people can, through occult techniques, have power, but that doesn't mean that power comes from God. That's part of the illusion. Well, you weren't there, man. I felt like I was healed. My headache went away. What? And I quote, I was a New Age healer, but then I realized what? I wasn't the one doing the healing. Right? And the scroll goes on to talk about from the time that she was a child, she was involved in the occult with witchcraft practice in her house. She got involved in the Ouija board. She got interested in clairvoyance, you know, the ability to, God told me to tell you I had this fit. Doorways of the demonic realm, she said, began to open up. It scared her, but she kept going back to the occult. It was appealing to her. She got involved, of course, in New Age and things of that nature. And listen to this, she says this. Although Christians often associate New Age philosophies with crystal balls, Ouija boards, and seances, quote, most New Agers are, quote, health care workers. She said, I was at this point a Reiki master in New Age, but next door to me lived an elderly couple raising their young daughter, and she invited me to her church. I went. So I was began to straddle two worlds. On Saturdays, I would offer my Reiki sessions and teach classes, but then on Sundays, I would attend to this girl's church, and she said, and I quote, my ability to receive visions and impressions of people gained attention, and some would ask me, are you a medium? Quote, there's a seminar in town next week. Quote, you could make a lot of money. You could sell soaking kits for $50 a pop. She says, but a crisis point arrived when a friend asked that I would teach her Reiki to her and another woman. Quote, my hands heated up just prior to the call. The first session went smoothly enough. But that night, I had a terrible dream of two witches attacking me. I yelled out the name of Jesus, and immediately they disappeared. I awoke from the dream scared, but I was also in awe of a name so powerful that immediately the satanic forces fled at its very mention. So I ripped up all my Reiki books. I asked God to forgive me. That was over 15 years ago, and I haven't practiced it since. Here's what a modern vernacular would go like, or I hope it would go like, if somebody watched a study and they're involved with Bethel. I used to attend Bethel. I went to their supernatural school to learn some secret techniques. But I ran and I repented because God opened my eyes that it was modern day simony and repackaged occult. And I was being led astray and destroyed. But I repented and got right with God. And I was set free. Awesome. I hope that's what people do. Amen? Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell.
and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.